the DL debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love in Sarah's kitchen. Check this.
Welcome on and all to the DL debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via podcast. Another history making weekend in sport in Donegal. It was kicked off in the hurling by Dunloe, winning the first ever hurling title in the juniors, and then an historic win for St Junan's. 49 years since their last senior hurling title, they came back to win the senior hurling championship against Setanta. What a day it was at the park. Later on the show, I'm going to be joined by sports editor of the iconic media group, Alan Foley, as we run through the relegation playoffs that seen Glenfinn beat Bundoran and Glenswally beat Termon. And of course, we're going to do a preview of the big senior final of St Junan's in Neaveconnell, and also a word on the intermediate final between Dunloe and Clochaneely. All that to come later in the show. But first of all, I want to talk to a man that was named as man of the match. Now, I do see in the press today that there was question marks. There was quite a few players that came up the mark, and I know it won't bother my next caller because he's heart and soul St Junan's, but behind everything good at hurling in the club, it is the one and only Sean McVeigh.
Brendan, what's the crack?
Sean, you're sounding good. Hey, I know you have another big final to come. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Sean, first of all, just to get your reaction on that historic one yesterday and how long it's been coming to the club and all the work that you've put in.
It's a brilliant feeling, to be honest. It's kind of still kind of sinking in, I think, for a few of the lads. I was even talking to Paddy Flood this morning. He's just buzzing, and to be able to see the likes of Paddy, who's, you know, kind of worked so hard over the years to get hurling up and running, to even have young fellas and young girls playing hurling in the town, to see how happy he's been in the last couple of days, and all the different people who've been associated with hurling in the club, and just see the smiles in their faces and how much joy it's brought to them. And that's just been a class couple of days.
Yeah, magic. You know, Paddy came up to me last night. You know, I was so keen to get his history of hurling. You know, I think he started in 94, he was saying, Sean, when there was no hurling at all at the club, and they started to bring it in and integrate it. And, you know, there was lads who came to town who would have came from hurling areas, but he was saying that wasn't sustainable. You had to go back an underage and that. They gave me a brilliant interview. You know, hope you can listen back to it. Sean, but just as you said there, you know, Eugene Organ, you know, massive shout out to him for, in terms of, like, the way the team was set up and prepared. You know, obviously Paddy's in the background there, Matthew McColgan, Ronnie Hyland, you know, Roland Steed, physio. You were saying Keelan Ward did a bit of S&C with you. You know, along with obviously the brilliance of the team on the pitch, that big backroom team that had you in that game and had you physically and mentally ready and tactically brilliantly set up for the game.
Yeah, look, since they come in this year, they've been unreal. And since Eugene came in, he set a stolid right from the start. He says, we're going back to basics. We're going to do the basics really, really well. We're not going to overcomplicate things. We're just going to do the basics as good as we possibly can, and we're just going to build from there. And, you know, we took the league serious enough, took a lot of, you know, young fellas into the team there and managed to get a few results and ended up winning the league. And I think, you know, Eugene put a big emphasis on that. He says, you know, the bit of silverware that you get from that will stand you down the line. And it definitely did. You could see that kind of confidence kind of push into the team going into championship. And look, he said to us as well, it's about getting to a final. You know, we didn't put too much emphasis in trying to go out and win every single group game. You know, we're trying to develop a squad and trying to develop ourselves and learn things about the group. And we definitely did that. I think, you know, as soon as we knew we were going to get to the big day, you know, Eugene made a big promise to us as well that once we got to the big day, you know, that he was going to set us up in a way that was going to be, you know, extremely hard to beat. And I think you've seen that yesterday, particularly in that first quarter. We were well set up. We're, you know, held Setanta out. I think they might have got us 1 point maybe in the first quarter. Like, you know, with the quality of the players they have and the quality of their forward line, you know, that was a really big achievement for us.
Yeah, it really set the stall. You know, Setanta, obviously, you know, going for three in a row. Last year, winning 2-19 to 2-13. You know, it looked 6 points. It wasn't a lot in that, Sean, but really, they went into such a lead that they just kind of played the game out. So, as you said, you know, defensive solidity, particularly not conceding goals, massive. I mean, Russell Ford's goal, you know, put at halftime, Unions went down 1-6-5. I suppose Kevin Keeley's goal then put St Unions 2-8 to 10 up with 10 to go. I mean, it was a massive lead at that point, at that water break. Sorry, 2-8-8. You know, it was a huge lead, and naturally enough, you were going to sit back in that, which is a dangerous thing. And then with all the extra time in that, Sean, it was real backs to the wall stuff to try and get across this encounter by that 1 point victory.
Yeah, and I think as well, you know, it's just a natural instinct, as you say, when you're 6 points up, to just drop back that extra 10, 20 metres. And, you know, we're turning ball over, but we didn't have anybody up the field when we were clearing it. And we're putting serious pressure on ourselves. But I think when you've gone so long without winning a title, you know, 49 years, you're just kind of desperate to just cling on to it, and you don't really care if you win by 1 point, 6 points, or whatever it is. Look, we definitely made it difficult for ourselves. And look, when you got sharpshooters, you know, like with the likes of, you know, Declan Coulter and Jerry Gilmore and Barney Lafferty and all, you know, anything inside 70 metres is a score. So we probably sat back too far in that last quarter and kind of invited Setanta onto us. And I suppose we give away a few soft frees as well, which Declan punished us with, and kind of give them a buy into the game. And look, we were just happy when that last free dropped short. I think you could see about 8 of us just sprinting to the ball as hard as we could. It was just about getting over the line, and we didn't really care how we did it yesterday.
Yeah, listen, you got over the line, surely. It was massive stuff. And now, of course, there's an Ulster Junior Championship match coming down the road, 28th of November. But first of all, your attention turns straight now to the county final against Neve Connell. So back to training and back to focus, Sean. A huge, huge couple of weeks for you.
Great couple of weeks for the club in general. I think, you know, the lady started it out. You know, they won the intermediate championship there, which was a great lift, I think, for the club. And look, we've got ourselves, and we've come up with the goods, I suppose, there on Saturday. And now there's got the reserve and the senior finals coming up this weekend. But look, massive underdogs get into that. You know, Neve Connell going for 3 in a row. Look, they're a very impressive side. Look, we're going to be massively up against it. But it's just great to be kind of back in a county final for us. And, you know, there's a great buzz about the club through all the different kind of sports and all the different age grades, like, so that's just great.
Brilliant. Sean, listen, I want to wish you all the best. Obviously yourself, Kevin Keeley, Brian McIntyre, Cormac Finn, Sean Halvey, all involved in both codes, and it's great to see that the club can find time to fit everything in. Sean, I want to wish you all the best now in this county final.
Thanks, Brendan.
And as I said to Sean there, I caught up with Paddy Flood, one of the big driving forces behind hurling from the very start, and he gave me a whole history breakdown of how they got to this final victory. A very interesting piece. Well, what a weekend it was for St Junan's senior hurlers, beating Setanta on a scoreline of 2-9 to 14 points to capture the title. Someone said 50 years, Paddy, but you've already corrected and says 49, but that's minor detail, Paddy. What a weekend.
Absolutely fantastic weekend for us. We had worked so hard to get to this position, and we had a few tough losses over the last few years. And what was wonderful over yesterday at the match, and the support was incredible, and that's in keeping with just the goodwill in the club towards us from all angles, from all the sections of the club. It was just absolutely wonderful. And they got their money's worth yesterday, because I believe, you know, when you're on the sideline, you don't really notice, but I believe it was fun and games in the stand, and heart attack stuff all the way. And we are actually watching the game in Blake's ourselves this evening, and you were nervous watching the things. We kind of knew the result, but it was great, absolutely.
Yeah, an absolute thriller, and you're right. There's a few comments flying about in the stand, but you're listening. All that's pale into significance with the real history of it. Now, Paddy, the reason I was dying to talk to you is because St Junan's have come from a point where there was no hurling in the club, and people like yourself have taken it on their shoulders to promote hurling. It's been a long, long journey, Paddy, but a phenomenal journey. I'd like you to just take us back to the start and just talk us through how the last number of years went since you started getting involved in hurling and promoting the game at the club.
Well, one of the most enjoyable things about last night was all the guys who built this, who got us to the point where we are today. And again, it's always a work in progress. But all the way back to, we'd say, we were on the pitch there taking photographs, and we had the one and only Gabriel Flood, who was the man who had the idea at the time. I was involved with Bird Plane at the time, and I was playing football with St Junan's. And Gabriel, in the midnight, about 94, I think it was, there had been no hurling in the town since, I think, I stand to be corrected on this now, about the mid-late 70s, a few years after we won the senior championship in 72. And it had died away, unfortunately, because, as you know, it's hard to sustain things. You need a committed group of people. But anyway, Gabriel decided, as only Gabriel can, that we're going to give this a shot. So and the first thing he started was an adult team, strangely, rather than a juvenile. So I suppose I started, you know, trying to build some juvenile sides in the mid-90s, we'd say from 94-5 onwards, and Gabriel was sort of pushing along the adult end of it. And the start of it was a lot of local guys who are football guys, and they were just enthusiastic to have a go at hurling. Plus a few guys then from, as I would say, no, I wouldn't say from outside the town, not like myself, that you can hardly even consider it outside the town now, but they would have maybe more of a hurling background. But it was largely local guys. But what then started happening in the late 90s is suddenly there was an influx of guys. I was old enough that I could leave Burt respectably and let their young lads go on to the great team that they became in that era. And so a few of us had a bit of hurling and we kind of landed at the same time. So we went at a pretty good, we had a really good period from about the late 90s to the mid 90s. We won the Donegal Junior in 2000 and the Donegal Intermediate 2001. And at that stage, really, it was Burt were so far ahead of everybody. A team that could match any team in the country, really, club team. And everybody else played in the Intermediate, so to speak. And then in various ways, they tried to put a senior championship together for Burt. So we played then Burt finally in the 2002 final. That was the first final we reached. Now, we were never really going to be in a position to challenge, but we gave them a respectable game. I think they beat us by 15 points, which was, you know, against that team. So we had an absolutely wonderful group of fellas, and it was one of the most enjoyable teams I ever played on. Great guys. But I suppose then there was less of born and bred Letterkenny boys, if you want to put it like that, at that stage. So then we aged a bit, here we say, in the mid-90s. And the guys around at the time recognised this, up to about, you know, 2010, 11 or so. And it was a bit of a struggle, but we very much were committed to keeping the senior team going because we knew what was coming. And we put a lot of work in at the underage in the 90s, and that was a very conscious decision. And we knew what kind of talent was going, if we could just sustain ourselves. And I suppose we finally made a breakthrough at underage in 2011, won the minor football title that year, but we also had an awful lot of that team playing minor hurling. And we won the minor hurling championship. That was a big breakthrough for us in 2011. And since then, we really have been, you know, it's been the story of local young lads. Like, we have been very, very competitive in most age groups of the championship, winning a certain number of minors, under 21s and younger age than that. And we tend to be right there, you know, not always winning it, but, and what that means, of course, and what a critical thing for us is that you have teams coming through every year. It doesn't matter if they're good, bad or indifferent, you'll always get adult players out of it. And really what the underage came down to was the amount of really committed guys. You know, I start naming them, but I'd be afraid I would leave people out. Just, they know who they are. And thanks be to God, practically all of them were there last night, knowing what they did to make yesterday happen.
Just, you just mentioned there, Paddy, the different people was involved just from that time, taking it through. Who was the main people around the club that took senior teams and took the team on in underage?
Well, I suppose at underage, like we had so many guys, like, you know, we say there was a point where we realised that we had to have more people. We had to have a critical mass of coaches. And we've had like, so, and I know I'm going to leave people out here, but so apologies in advance. But like, so, like Joe Keeley has been wonderful. You know, Fergal Finn, A.D. Gaffey, Eunan O'Donnell, Gordon Randalls, Ray Jurak helped the teams over the years. Produced a lot of good players for us. Tom Hennessy more recently. All these guys have made contributions. Paddy Lennon's been an absolute stalwart. Colin Brannock more recently, taking out underage teams. These guys, I know I'm leaving somebody out, and I'm going to revisit it if I just because
I'll stick them in for you. Yeah.
But at senior level, then I suppose like everybody in the hurling community in Donegal would know that Dennis Murphy was the guy who really took on the adult senior teams. I have a great picture from the mid 90s of the first team we had, and there'd be some really interesting faces in it. And the strange thing is, getting the start was huge, you know, because the team, you know, it may have struggled at times, but it was the base I even started from. And Dennis took this team on, and then over the years, as I said, in the late 90s, early 90s, we started having more success, and Dennis was just wonderful. And I spent last night trying to ring him, said, get in here to the pub, until somebody told me he's emigrated to Australia, because his family's out there now, and he was originally there himself, a Wexford man. But Dennis was in charge of the seniors for, I'd say, the guts of 15 years. And just, we had so many great times with Dennis Murphy's team. And then when Dennis, you know, there was a time, I suppose, like it's all, to move on. the next guy who took it on in a major way was We had Simon Robbins was there for a while, and Conor McVeigh Sr. was there for a while, and then we had Pat Carlin. And Pat did a great job for us. Pat was a Burt man, and the great job Pat did was that there were the difficult years, and Pat was willing to run with that, and you know, knowing like we all did that if we stuck with it, there was real talent coming through, but they had to have a senior team to come onto. And I suppose then, like the first of the scene of the young lads to come through was one of our club legend, as far as, even though he's a bit young to be called that, he'd be embarrassed. But Sean McVeigh would have been the first of the young lads to come through, him and a couple of lads from his team. And I suppose you're talking 2007, because he won the minor 2008, so when he was about 17, but 2006-7. So from then on, we could see every year we're going to have new guys, and it just took a bit of time to develop. So Dennis Murphy had it, and then Pat Carlin, and then Colin Brannock and Eunan O'Donnell took over the team for a number of years, and we were just winning. We started winning a few Ulster leagues at some of the lower division, but silverware was huge for us in the early teens. And then I suppose our big breakthrough came in 2014. We were very close to making the county final, and that was the first year we really competed in a big way, and that was a breakthrough. But then it took us a couple more years. Then I took over the team around the mid-teens. And in 2017, we finally made it to the county final, which was huge for us. We beat McCool's, who were the county champions at the time. And it was an absolutely stellar display by a young, fast team. We couldn't replicate it in the final. I think the nerves got to the management and to the players a bit, you know, with the occasion. Play was slightly overawed us, and Satanta beat us. That was the start of our difficult relationship. Satanta are wonderful guys, really top players, top characters. But in terms of difficult, trying to get over the line against them, because they really had it over us for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, great history one there, Paddy. You know, and just taking it in, they right up to now. Obviously, last year, you know, Satanta overplayed us big time early on the game. The game won. So from that into this year, but you know, going in complete underdogs, you know, for a start, the pride you have in this team, but also now the bounce that these lads will get, and all the young lads watching that they want to play hurling for St. Eunan's.
Well, I mean, it's just huge to finally get over the line and to be the county champions. It just puts you in a completely different place. Now, it's still going to be the same day-to-day work to produce the teams, that you have to get the bodies on the ground. And in hurling, I suppose we don't have the same mass of people that you'd have in football, so the same guys have to put in a huge shift of work. But Kieran Kelly, another guy I forgot to mention. Sorry, Kieran. I keep thinking of him as I'm going along. Great fellas, put in huge time with teams. You know, and also the Camogie section has been developing great as well over the last while. But it's difficult, you know, getting the bodies to do it. But yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, when you're the county champions, you're in a different place, and guys are young lads are people to look up to. And, you know, we now have a sense of a certain level that we're at. And we obviously have to back it up next year and so on. And that's going to be difficult, because we're now the people with the target on our backs, and people like nothing better than to be the county champions. So we have to up our game for next year. But look, as you know yourself, Brendan, you won a number of these in football. To get the first one, get over the line for the first one, is just huge. And we slayed a lot of demons yesterday. We really did.
Magic stuff, Paddy. Listen, first class. Really enjoyed that history lesson there. Magic stuff. And as you say, next season target in the back, we trip on the Ulster first. Yes. That'll be the next thing down the line. Armagh champions.
In 4 weeks' time, we'll play Armagh champions. And I think that's already said, might be Camlock or something. But look, it's something we would have dreamt of getting the run out like that.
Yes, good to hear from Paddy Flood there. And yes, we're all about balance in this show. We have a few Eunan's men on, so now we need a word from the Satanta crew and a man that is a previous championship winner of Satanta. It is Paul Campbell. Paul, how are you today?
Monday after getting beat today is never a good spot to be in there, Brenton, but look here, you have to take your losses.
Yeah, you do. But listen, Paul, I've been there myself. You were gracious enough to text me straight after the game, and you were honest about the outcome. And just talking to you there, you know, I said there was a time that Satanta was that coming hungry team, you know, came in to upset the odds, and that's, I suppose, what Eunan's did at the weekend.
They started the game like men possessed, and our boys were sitting back going, you know, I seen them looking at one another going, what's happening here? And within, 12 minutes, they were 1-6, no score up. Satanta didn't score for the first 13 minutes of the game, you know, which is unheard of. They went out the whole game. I think there's one Setanta forward scored from play. Yeah. You know, and if you can play against the likes of our boys with half the county forward line playing with us, and you can hold them to 1 point from play, look, you're going to win the game. Tactically, Unions had set up perfect. You know, they changed the sweeper. You know, Sean ran on there, sweeping there, and O'Grady, he popped on there an odd time. He was sweeping an odd time. Our boys kept doing the same thing, repetitive, popping the ball onto him. Sean probably thought it was Christmas, it came early. Mm. All the balls were going onto him. And the worst man you want to give the ball to, and the St. Jude's team, is Sean McVeigh, because he left the head, and there's nothing on, he can travel. Mm. And he'll wait, and he'll pick the pass. Like, and look, I thought our boys sort of got it wrong. The wee bit of complacency, probably going into the game, sort of, didn't set the tone right for our boys either. But look, hey, Unions are champions and they deserve a champions, and fair play to the likes of Paddy and Eugene Oregon sticking with them boys for years, and the likes of Sean McVeigh. I'm delighted to see Sean McVeigh win the county medal because he deserves it. Young Park, O'Grady, you know, Kevin Keeley, them boys, yeah. You know, are putting in the hard hours, way the hurling and the football, you know, it's a real, real hard thing to do now. And, you know, fair play and congratulations. I'll hold my hand up whenever a better team beats us and we're beat by the better team in the day.
Good man. But just at that time, you know, with saying to Sean was 2-8-8, it was looking in the game over. So, you know, naturally enough, you know, we're going to sit back then. Your lads did come back, you know, come right back. I mean, it was only a 1 point victory in the end. Yeah. Coulter, of course, having that long range shot at the end, you know. Did you think there was a chance there if it had got that equaliser that the team would have, you know, pushed on, or did you think it just wasn't going to be your day?
Well, look, at the start of the game, you know, you're sort of reading the whole game, the whole process of the game. Like in the start of the game, you know, that there was, you know, really the goal chance, he missed it. Decky missed three frees in the first quarter inside her own half. Not Decky at all, you know. There was a big penalty shoot now in the first half. A serious penalty shoot in the first half. Look, like everybody in the ground thought it was a penalty. We didn't get it. Big Conor McVeigh wasn't a yellow card at that stage. Had it been a penalty, second yellow, he could have been off. All them wee fine margins all add up to the last puck of the game. And, look, Decky, far 65, I thought, look here, I was sitting beside Martin Callan at the game, and I goes, look here, Decky's going to pop this over, we're going to take it on to extra time, and we'll have the head on us in the extra time to finish out the game. But look here, Decky pulled it short, and Decky and Coulter going 65 minutes without scoring from play. Like, you know, Jared Gilmore, I think he got two, Bernard Lafferty got one, Jared was playing from the middle of the field, Oisin Marley not scoring from play, Rory Campbell not playing, scoring from play. Too many big players didn't play, and you know, and that was down to St. Unions playing it smart. They knew how to, you know, who to cut out, you know, and who to let onto the ball, and you know, Paddy and Eugene had their homework done, and the boys played very well. And you can take nothing from it. You know, what I would say is, you know, them boys want to regroup and take a serious look at that Ulster title, because there's an Ulster title there for them. You know, they play, they have a very easy round in the first round. I think they're playing the Armagh junior champions.
Yes.
And, you know, if they could have won Ulster, they could have won Ulster title.
Yes, well, St. Anta have been brilliant champions. You know, I've seen them playing some phenomenal hurling, you know, at times. Paul, they've locked in another gear to everybody in the county, and that's probably all. It's hard to get that out of players' minds, going in, even to a big final. You know, you're three in a row, and you're just waiting to kind of open up and do your thing. But Unions were so compact and so well drilled that never happened, and the rhythm that Setanta normally had didn't happen. And that's, but you know, I suppose that's going to be a dangerous thing for people next year. You know, Setanta will be coming back, I'm sure, with a bit between the teeth to prove that wasn't the real Setanta on the day.
Here, you have to put on the hard work, and you know yourself there, Brenton, you don't win championships on the day of the final. You know, the championships run on the hard nights and the hard days, you know, training and putting on the hard slogs, you know. And it looks like there on Saturday, Unions put on far, far more work throughout the year than our boys done, and maybe that wee bit of complacency, as you say, it always creeps onto the game, it beats the best teams. We just didn't play. I know Unions stopped us from playing, but Unions have done that this, you know, 2-3 years. We didn't get a rhythm going. The likes of Danny Cullen wasn't distributing the ball properly. You know, he's under pressure all the time. Like Niall Cleary, he'd usually be good for, you know, distributing good ball, you know, once the under the full forward line. You know, it wasn't happening, wasn't getting on the ball. You know, I think, I tell a quick stat there, the blocks, I think we get on four blocks the whole game, three almost from the one player. And yeah. I think St. Jonas got on 14
Yes.
You know, and that was the difference. That was the, just the hunger, the bite. We came and, like, I can remember the first year at Incidental back in 2007. Like, we were beating, I think it was six county finals in a row. And we came out the way Unis came out yesterday in 2007 and done the exact same to Bort as what Unis done to us yesterday.
Yeah,
you know, and that was just hunger. It was just pure hunger.
Listen, Paul, thanks for that roundup. No doubt the boys from Satanta will be back next year.
Well, we'll be back next year, but hey, we'll all be supporting St. Unis on their run north there, and hopefully they do get a good run north there.
Yeah, good man, Paul there. Listen, good to hear him, and that's very sportsmanlike. That back in Unions now in their Ulster Junior Club run, 20th of November. We're going to turn to football now and the relegation playoffs and a look ahead to the senior and intermediate finals with the one and only Alan Foley. Alan, another busy weekend. We're going to come along and do a bit of a senior final and intermediate final preview after this. But first, getting along to today's game, we had two relegation playoffs. Myself and yourself are just sitting here in the bowels of O'Donnell Park after witnessing Termon fall to Glenswilly in the first of the playoff games.
Yeah, this game ended 17 points to 2-6. I thought Glenswilly were comfortable. Termon made a great start with Dara McDade getting a goal inside 56 seconds, but I actually think that's where Dara picked up an injury and he kind of hobbled on and he lasted 21 minutes. Glenswilly were kind of hit and miss at the start, bringing a lot of silly shots. Both teams hit colossal amount of wides. Like Glenswilly had 5 in the first quarter alone, and they had double figures, where Termon ended up the day with 7 themselves and a couple short. But Glenswilly got their act together slowly, you know, and started putting ball over the bar. They had 10 different scores on the day. Half time they were 10-2 up at half time, with a great goal by Jamie Grant. But you know, we got the feeling that Termon probably needed more. Like, they weren't going to score so many goals. Like, Glenswilly kept chipping away, and you could see then, I suppose, the last quarter, Brendan, Glenswilly had built a cushion, you know, 4 or 5 or whatever. They basically just locked down, played on the break, and took their chances as they came, where Ryan McFadden really was carrying the fight for Termon alone without Dara's influence. And I suppose the worrying fact for Termon is the fact that Dara now, like, he is their talisman, and they're facing into a relegation final without him, possibly. There's going to be a doubt over him this week anyway, and you'd think that they'd love to have him on board. Francie's a good young squad there, but, you know, they're kind of their last chance saloon now, Brendan, really, so...
Yeah, as you said, goals was the big thing. It kept Termon in the game first half, I suppose, you and Dunn. There was nothing in it at half time. Termon come out really registering the same amount of points in the second half, but without those goals, you know, Glenswilly sorting out their issues at the back, but they kept kicking on, tapping over scores and pulling away. I think they outscored them in the second half, 7-3. And I suppose we've seen, I suppose, the bases that have been built in the first half. You know, Glenswilly were a wee bit better on the ball, a bit stronger. They were getting their short kickouts away. And the long kickouts that Termon profited from, actually the two goals came from that. They sorted all those things out at half time. So you'd say Glenswilly managed the game that bit better and looked that bit more assured.
Yeah, their game management was good, Brendan. Even though the margin was only 2 at half time, I kind of thought this game then was Glenswilly's to lose. As you said, they were kind of, you know, getting their act together. The creases were getting ironed out. There was probably a little lingering doubt in the back of their minds, even towards the very end of the game, because they have been stung this year a couple of times. St. Noel's caught them with a late goal. Ardra caught them with a late goal. And, you know, for a team that basically were in touching distance of a quarter final, here they were in a relegation playoff. So you can understand why there's a little bit of trepidation there. But I spoke to Cormac Callaghan afterwards, you know, and we spoke about the fact that, you know, this Glenswilly team, if you kind of recount the previous sides that won county championships, it is in transition. But he made a good point. He just says, look, the talk about transition has to stop. Like, this is it now. This is the here. This is the now. And as I said, they're not too far away. They were unlucky not to make a quarter final, Brendan. You know, I just think they're glad to get out of here today. You know, it's an awkward time of year for football. 17 points is still a commendable score in the last day of October, so I think they'll be happy enough with their day's work and look forward to next year. But they can just, I suppose, let their hair down between now and then for the next few weeks.
Yeah, I certainly agree. Listen, sport's all about that. Alan, see, people planning for down the road, I think, is all about now. You've got to take your opportunities now, no matter what age range or where your team is at. You know, sport is about here now. The other relegation battle, Alan, you were keeping eyes on that as well?
Yeah, it was indeed. Glenfinn were another side. Brendan, we spoke a couple of weeks ago and we said Glenfinn were, like, probably a quarter-final team. They were kind of caught in the hop by Kelly Beggs there, and then they faced into the game against a Bundoran side. And Bundoran now, the side you'd kind of worry about the most out of the whole lot, their form has dipped considerably. Like, they were in three quarter-finals in the three previous years. I know they shipped a couple of heavy defeats to St Dunan's here, and there was Gwydor then, the year Gwydor won. In between times, do you remember they took Gwydor to extra time? It was a crazy game, but you feel they really got their act. They need to get their act together very fast. They were beaten comfortably today. Like, that's 3-11 to 0-8, which is a bit of a battering really at this time of year in Fintra. So a lot of guys are away. You know, the team probably hasn't got the more familiar names that we've kind of expected of Bundoran in recent years, because they've come a long way. Bundoran, if you remember, like, I think it was 2014. They were in a group with Len Swilly, Kilcarran, St Michaels, and they were basically the punching bag. And how many points you could get against Bundoran would get you through, and Kilcarran only beat them by 27, like only 27. But, you know, they got out of intermediate, they got to an Ulster intermediate final, and they were steadying themselves. So they really, like, they'll need to pull it together. Where Terman, on the other hand, as I've said, it's kind of contradicting what we said there. Football is about the here and the now, but they have a very young team, and I think they know that this team will hopefully, they hope, flourish, I suppose. You know, they got to an Ulster minor final a couple of years ago, but last year they kind of got diced into this relegation playoff. They got out in the semi-final last year, they beat Milford. So you know, they're going to put it all on the line then next week as well, Brendan.
Yeah, set for an interesting one. I suppose along with that, having spoken to Cahill Corey earlier, they seem to have a lot of injuries and people away, and long-term injuries, of course, Jamie Brennan being one of them. But coming down this last game, Alan, how do you see it? Because we've seen some really strange results in the relegation playoff. It seems such a different format altogether, because I think the first five games was played in at a 5 or 6. They almost all went with what you would call the underdog, which is very unusual. It just shows you the lottery and maybe the mindset of players going into it. It's so different from your normal championship. Form is very hard to gauge. And as you said there, a team like Bundoran, particularly in the last few seasons, find themselves right down at the last now.
Absolutely. You know, this is kind of a funny time of year for sure, and team can get relegated, even though throughout the year you would never consider them to be the worst team in the senior bracket. It's just, you know, if you had a dip in form, or as you said, there's guys away, there's injuries, you know, so you could pay like the ultimate price for that dip in form, and it's an awkward time of year to be playing football as well. So it's a tough one to call next week, I suppose. As we said, the Darragh McDade thing is a big thing with Terman, but I suppose Bundoran can point the fact that they've been missing Jamie Brennan plus a host more, so this could just develop into kind of a scrap. And I'm sure the Cahill Corey or Francie, they wouldn't care if they won this game 3-2 or whatever it is, or if it ended up toss of a coin 2 out of 3 or something, Brendan.
I hear you. It's all about staying in the senior championship. That is the goal, and that is the game that's coming up. Yes, well, that's the relegation battle between Terman and Bundoran. Switching our attention to the big one, the final. St Eunan's and Neve Connell. Alan, I was just looking across. Since that famous victory of Neve Connell's at breakthrough year 2005, where they beat St Eunan's. St Eunan's then beat Neve Connell in 2009 and in 2012. Neve Connell coming back in 2015, which was Eunan's last final. So it's set now at 2 apiece, Alan. So who's going to go into the lead in this fixture? Where's your heart line going into this game?
The last time we spoke, Brendan, you know, I expressed doubts over Neve Connell ahead of the Gwydor game. Actually picked Gwydor there that day and went to the game then, and after about 3 minutes of that game, even though Gwydor had started quite well, I was thinking, why did I ever doubt these guys? So the one thing I learned from that is don't bother judging Neve Connell when they're playing against the likes of Glenfinn, winning by 3 points, but they're still getting the job done in these games. And I think a lot of people looked very deep into the fact that Eru almost caught them from 9 down. But I think now I think it's 25 games Neve Connell are unbeaten since Kilcoo in the Ulster final last 2019. And in that time, like, they've drawn the 2020 final and won on penalties and drawn with Eru. Apart from that, they've won every single game. I thought the last two games were awesome, Brennan, like really, really awesome. I think a lot of talk about hunger and things like this, maybe something like you've throughout your career, like it's something, can you manufacture that, Brendan, or what is it? But the way Martin Regan was, these guys coming out, it was the first thing I asked him last week when I spoke to him, like, how do you keep these guys that hunger? Because you thought, you know, they're talking about this as three in a row. I know there's still an asterisk beside 2020, and there's still an appeal on the table, you know. But they're gunning for this three in a row, and you can see that that is what they're up for.
It's interesting you say that, Alan, because on top of that as well, you've got to remember that they came into the season playing a county final, which meant that they had to be at a level above most of the other teams coming into the start of the championship. So you wonder then, but that affected them as time goes on. And I think what you've seen with teams, particularly the bigger teams with the better squads, they were playing different players, and they were maybe, listen, no respect, no disrespect to opposition, Alan, but I think having seen Niamh Conlon in some of them games, they were playing somewhere just above a league. In terms of their attitude and their application. And as you said, where they went in Goodora got into that match as slight favourites. You know, Niamh Conlon, you know, totally bossed the game. And I think out here in the Kilcare game as well, first half, they just played all right. And a bit like Donegal, if you think back in the day, so many first halves, they just seemed to play okay. And then, bang, here comes this lift in intensity in play. And the opposition are left chasing it, as you know, versus Niamh Conlon, left chasing it. There's only going to be one winner. So how their influence tactically is on those bigger games. So you could flip it and say St Unions maybe have had to be that good, but you maybe haven't seen the polished performance, which people are now looking at Niamh Conlon's performances versus theirs. And I think that's why, on top of that record you mentioned, they're going into this match as favourites.
Absolutely. I think these upper teams in a lot of sports are coached to play against the other top teams. So if we see them beating Glenfinn by 3 points or drawing with Éire, you know, that's that on that day. But like, they're still working towards this, you know. Like, famously in 2014, Jim McGuinness was working towards Monaghan, Dublin, and I think it was actually Mayo who ended up losing to Kerry in the semi-final in Limerick that year. But I think, you know, the managers kind of earmarked two or three teams, and you could see that straight away. Like, we says when that quarter-final draw came out, you know, if Niamh Conlon are going to win this, they're really going to have to win it the hard way, and if they win it, they deserve that championship. So far, they've passed two out of three of them tests in absolutely flying colours. As you said there, against Kilcare looked quite good in the first half, and it was 4-4. But you can see that, you know, Niamh Conlon kind of sussed teams out, you know, and I think they let teams play in certain areas of the pitch, and they let certain players have the ball. But then when they turn up the temperature, it's up to the other team. Can you match them? And basically, if they got to the last 2 years at least in Donegal football, not many teams have been able to match them.
Yeah. And just looking, like, they're solid at the back, as we know, from goalkeeper out, you know. I think Campbell's had a great season. Obviously, Kevin McGettigan, he's everywhere. You know, the experience of McLoon and Thompson, Wade around there. Obviously, Kieran Thompson, Ethan O'Donnell, you know, the Dohertys, you know. McGuinness, the last day, man of the match. You know, they couldn't be getting in here in better terms, and we'll maybe later tomorrow we'll find out on about where the match actually is, or this evening, because there's a chance it could be here. Now, I think it wouldn't bother this Niamh Conlon team. I just think that, see, O'Donnell Park's a bit like a county ground now. We were just chatting to Vance McGlynn there earlier. He was saying there was 8 games in 9 days, and the pitch is still in some shape. You know, I think, you know, without the pitch now in Donegal, I suppose the games would have to be played in certain grounds, but they wouldn't be at that level. So at least it makes the play, particularly from the hurlers' perspective yesterday, it gives us a fair balance, because it's a good pitch. But if the match was, I know there's a decision to be made in Balbuffet this evening, but if the match was to be switched to St Unions here, I don't think it would bother Niamh Conlon. They are that type of team where no matter what is in front of them, they find a way to win, as you were speaking about earlier.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Brendan, because you could see even at full time whistle, I know there was a little bit of fisticuffs and things like that going on against Kilcare, but you could see how the crowd was with them. Like, there's a great atmosphere in here, and I just think for the good of football, like, we were at the two games last weekend. You know, the Saturday game, the conditions didn't do any favours at all to St Unions or St Michael's. It was, Unions were the better team, you know, they finished the game well, Michael started quite well, but it was just a bit of a lottery, where the Sunday game I just thought was a different level then, because of the conditions were good. As you said, like Martin Regan's managed how many championship games here? Like, a lot more than Rory Kavanagh has. And I think the way it is now, it's funny, Letterkenny, I find, maybe you find this as well, Brendan. Niamh Conlon are, you know, the kings of the Bunton every year. You know, they have the colours up. You know, you can see it all the time on the social media channels, and you know, they always support their team in great colour. I think, like, in the late 90s, 97, 99, Brendan used to have that around Letterkenny when you guys were playing against Éire and the likes, even at 01. And then maybe, I don't know, whether it was kind of complacency of the people of Letterkenny and stuff, you wouldn't really see as much anymore. But even over the weekend, you know, there's great work being done by the St Unions people because of the hurlers and the footballers. There's good colour up here. And I think, you know, this would create a great atmosphere. And as I said, like, the pitch is obviously an important, very important part of football. And I think, you know, for the good of Donegal football, it would be no harm. Because if Niamh Connell, say, even win this championship, or St Jude's, chances are they'll be playing the Ulster Club game here against the Derry champions anyway, because O'Donnell Park can host it as a county ground.
Yeah, I totally agree, Alan. I just think it's gone past that level now. It's not like, you know, there's some places people don't want to go or play, but if you're so used to playing here, you know, loads of lads have played county football here too. Kilcare obviously beat, Niamh Connell beat Kilcare here the last day, as you say, the Ulster game could be here. So I think in many ways it wouldn't. It might actually maybe tip a bit of it on pressure on St Union's, the fact that they're at home. And, you know, just looking at their team, obviously mentioning, I mean, the brilliance of Patton in there. Keelan Ward had a phenomenal game the last day. You know, Deeney and Park, you know, coming out from the back. Pizza, Devine. You know, they have the sprinkling all over the pitch as well, with the O'Donnells, McGeehan, fellas like this. They've got talent. They've got defensive solidity. They've got all the makings of it. But as yet, as you said, Niamh Connell, 5 finals in a row. They're the team that have been there and done that. So that is the task for St Union's on the day. Have they got enough about them to have the ability? Because it's going to come down to the small margins. And as we know, both teams are going to sit defensive, not want to give it up. It might be pretty at times. It's going to be low scoring, as all games are really in and around these levels. Because Niamh Connell set the tactics for that, Alan. So unless you mirror them to a certain point, and I thought in many ways, in Kilcare in particular in the second half, they opened up too much. I thought with the points they conceded going into that game, remember it was 8 or 9 points across 3 games, I thought that they were going to set up at a level. They really said to Niamh Connell, right, we're going to sit, you're going to sit, we're going to use our pace against you. I think they many ways fell into Niamh Connell's counter-attack and trap a bit. Now, don't get me wrong, Niamh Connell were brilliant at it, we're right on it, but I think that's probably the challenge for Unions, to sit and hold enough that they're going to stay in the game for them. Because if anything, the psychological advantage is obviously with Niamh Connell.
Yeah, it's like what happened there. I thought last week as well that Niamh Connell are really good at making teams play on, you know, the match is on their terms, basically. And you could see Kilcare try to match that, and they did match it in the 2020 final, basically, for the whole thing. They probably actually bettered it, really, because, you know, Kilcare put up 13 points that night for Niamh Connell, you know, 2-7. So I thought if Kilcare could maybe stick at that again, but get the offensive thing going a little bit more, you know, they had a serious chance there as well. But Niamh Connell that comfortable doing this, as you said, you see, and their experience doing it, and they can open it up whenever suits them. I think you see then, like, they don't, I've noticed about them in the last couple of games, they're slightly more offensive than people give them credit for, because, like, I think that you know, they were kind of stung in the final 2017 when they got the 4 points against Kilcare. I actually think Niamh Connell have, you know, they do have serious attack and threat. Like, we spoke, I think, the last time about the Jack McKelvey. Like, Jack McKelvey used to be your man who would probably get a job man marking somebody like Ryan McHugh against Guidoor, you know, without, they played him a little bit more advanced, and you just see what a good footballer he was. So I think, like, it's up to Unions. You know, it's funny if Unions have the experience to kind of deal with that, because you know that Niamh Connell are going to play the game of stairs, and it's up to St Unions whether they blink or not, whether they stick with their own tactics. So, but as I said, you mentioned there, them previous finals, sometimes, you know, it's just something happens, or a kitchen sink sort of moment. Because in 2012, Niamh Connell were comfortably a better team than St Unions, and Liam McMonagall gets a goal out of nowhere, Mark McGowan puts over the point. 2015 was the total opposite. Unions looked in control in that game, I think, on McGettigan was sent off. Niamh Connell were quite aggrieved. Leo McLoon broke through for a goal, put it in, play was called back. But then out of nowhere, you know, they just kept coming and kept coming. I think Aaron Thompson kicked the winner that day, which is like, you know, so that got them over the line. So, you know, these things are structured, like, so far, but then something just can happen, a bolt out of the blue, to change them.
Yeah, certainly. And listen, as you say there, I didn't even mention Jack McKelvey, of course, what a player he's been. But I think that's the thing with Niamh Connell. Everyone contributes to such a level, and we've seen that now. I suppose that's why they're going into this game, not only because of the history and because of it's their 3rd, 5th final and going for 3 in a row. It's because of those performances, and I think everyone has contributed so immensely to that, particularly the starting 15 that starts. You know, we've seen a lot of changes over the years, but really, Niamh Connell, so many of their players are playing well now. There's very little reason to take them off. And funny you mentioned the McGettigan. You know, Parik McGettigan, a player, come on the last day. You just look at the power of Niamh Connell. They looked like they had too much power for Kilcare the last day. that's something Union's going to have to match. You know, in the likes of McGerrigan, for me, I think you would start a player like that there, because on top of everything else, there's a great solid power and conditioning around Niamh Connell. And I thought they were taking the ball off Kilcare just that bit easier, and they were able to get through the Kilcare tackles that bit easier, which had a huge bearing on the game. And that's another thing Union's will have, at least have to match.
Yeah, you can see probably the continuity of service, because Martin Regan has been there since, what, 2015, I think it was, maybe before that. So I suppose like he's been working towards this, you know, and then the backroom team, there might be additions, there's not too many leaving it. And the thing about them as well, you see, they have probably guys, you know, in their 30s and stuff that ordinarily might, you know, think about hanging up their boots or maybe playing a bit of reserve football, but they know they're part of something here. Like, they're winning championships, as we said, like 2005 was the watershed moment for them. Here they are again. I think this is 10 finals now in what, 16 years. So if you're one of these guys kind of teetering, you're thinking, do you know what, I'm going to try and keep up with these kids. But then they're getting fed from the other end with youngsters and teenagers coming through. So the squad is getting bigger, bigger, bigger. And as I said, nobody wants to just let go at the minute. Like, they've met Unions so many times. I think like every single year nearly, Unions and Unions and Niamh Connell used to meet in the group stages. Like, I think they're totally and utterly comfortable coming here. They've met in Dead Rubbers, they've met in Connell, do you know what I mean? They've met in finals, they've met at all levels of the championship. I think it's something like 12 out of the 16 years they've actually run into one another. So, for Unions, you know, they've come so close in the last few years. The thing that I think would have disappointed them most about losing to Kilcare in the first game was, obviously, blowing a 6-point lead wasn't great, but they just needed one big result, because it's been like, I think the last time they beat one of the other big four was in a group stage when Barry Meehan was in charge, and it was Niamh Connell they beat. But as I said, it was kind of a dead rubber game, 2017, I think. And since that, they've been on the losing side to Niamh Connell by a couple of points, or all like 1-point games extra time. They've drawn with Kilcare, they've drawn away to Gweedore, they've lost to Gweedore by a point here the year that Gweedore went on to win Ulster. So I think if they had got that, you know, Kilcare one under their belt, it just would have given them that extra kind of belief, because it's like, you know, that they're only inches away, this St Unions team. The funny thing about Unions is nobody really knows what to expect of them, because St Noel's was workmanlike against 14 men, but they still won the game. Last week was a little bit of a lottery, didn't play particularly well, but still won the game. And even speaking to Martin Regan last week, like the way Niamh Connell speak of St Unions and St Unions of Niamh Connell, like, there's absolutely zero complacency. Like, it's always St Unions, and now it's always Niamh Connell this last 15 years. So I think that would be the little bit of trepidation of Niamh Connell, and it's just the fact with, you kind of know what Niamh Connell are going to do, but can you match that is one thing. Unions are a bit more of a wild card at the minute.
Set up for a cracker. Hey, I suppose you have to mention Marty Boyle too when you're on about stalwarts. He is the shoveling of Niamh Connell after all. He just keeps going and going. Listen, set up for a cracker, Alan. You're slightly in a word. You have to age the words Niamh Connell. Is that what you're thinking?
I think so, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Unions won. But as I said, like, I've been kind of caught by the Gweedore thing and Niamh Connell a few weeks ago. I've kind of backed with Niamh Connell winning a ring for about 6 years, and as I said, I doubted them. But there is a bit of a lift here, and like the way that St Unions hurlers, like, that was an absolutely massive shock beating Satanta, and I think that would have proved to people of the town, and that there was a great atmosphere here for that yesterday, going, do you know what, you know, outsiders or not, like, this is a 50-50 game, it's a toss of a coin sort of thing. So I still think Unions won't be far off it, like, and as I said, there's a little bit of element of unpredictability about Unions of the way they are at the minute. Yeah.
The intermediate final, Dunlow versus Cloughonaly. Great backstory, of course. Dunlow, listen, a proud championship, senior championship team, going down last year. We just talked about the relegation there at the top of the conversation, and now they are one step away from getting straight back up, playing, of course, a Cloughonaly team, you know, who's facing their third final, lost the last two. This is set up for an intriguing game.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, this is a great championship. I actually really enjoy watching this championship throughout the year. Two similar sides, but very different journeys, as you said, Brendan. You know, Dunlow just kind of first year in, they're in the pool, they're in the deep end, they're trying to get out as quick as they can. Where Cloughonaly, you know, they reached the last two finals. 2 years ago, they probably weren't at their best against St Noel's last year. There was only a kick of ball against Éireann. You know, the Cloughonaly story has been kind of a roller coaster this last few years, and I wouldn't say it's at Mayo proportions just yet. But you can see, you know, that they really have the bit between their teeth yet again this year, and they're never far away. You know, they've been written off. They've been to do things the hard way. It's always been said about them, but I think this should be a great game as well next weekend. And I'm one of these people that actually reckons two teams should get up from the Intermediate Championship. I know it kills a little bit of the buzz of winning the final, but like, I think these two teams are more than capable of playing Senior Championship football next year, but that's not going to be the case. Only one of them's going to be there.
Yeah, I agree with that, Alan. I think that's the two up, two down scenario.
Even a playoff or something.
Well, even if the losers play the losers, yes, I get you. Something like that, just to add that extra dimension, because we have so many teams in Senior now, and anything can happen in a Championship, even no matter who you are going down. Are going to end, you know, things can happen in a Championship game, as you were speaking about earlier, that you're not ready for. So the fact that, you know, if you make it all the way to the final, that opportunity should be there. And listen, phenomenal work being done by Desi Gallagher and Dunlow, of course, the manager there, Michael Lynch. I think he's maybe 5 years at Clonhilly, like, putting in a shift, like, he's a big team behind him there as well. So these two sides are gunning, and in different ways they're both desperate to win this game.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think this will be a cracker, because as I said, anytime you go to any like intermediate game, a lot of the group stages of the Senior Championship is so predictable, and there's such hammerings now because there's a huge stretch. The Intermediate Championship is a bit like watching a Division 2 game, because in March or April, I always find if you want to go to a game, you'd nearly as well go into a Division 2 game, because the team that you think is going to be bottom of the league at the end of the season could be playing the team you think is going to win it, and the result is all over the place. It's a bit like football in England between the Premier League and the Championship. You know, there's a much more level playing field, so that game looks like it'll be in Letterkenny as well. It's almost like a second home to Clonhilly. They've been here a lot, and I know that the last day, then Dunlow won their semi-finals. Their two semi-final victories were very similar in how they did it. The scorelines were almost the same, 2-11, 2-12, I think, to Neve Columba and Buncrana. They had got like 11-11, something like that. So there isn't much between that as well. I think maybe the experience of Clonhilly, even if you follow them in Division 1, you know, they always do enough, you know, and they pick up results at home and they're hard to beat. And then even this year, like, they came to O'Donnell Park to give Unions a really good game. They went to Neve Connell. I know it was kind of like the day Neve Connell were getting the trophy, but again, I think they only lost by 4 points or something. So they're always competitive. They have that competitive spirit. And not that Dunlow don't. I just think that Clonhilly have more experience of doing it in recent years. That might be just the difference, but this could be like a 1 point game. I wouldn't be surprised.
Alan Foley, sports editor of the Iconic Media Group, as ever, thanks very much. Alan Foley, wrapping all up there. The only thing left to do is look at the Junior Championship, where we had semi-finals at the weekend. Letterkenny Gaels, who had a cracking league, really building up ahead of steam. They were in a final a couple of years ago. They beat Narasa 1-9 to 10 points. Not at their best, but they're in the final. And in the final with last year's defeated finalist Downing, who accounted for Cairn 14 points to 9. And I hear Barney Kern is back from Boston, a good and proud Downing's man. He's great. Got involved in the backroom team there at the minute. Good man, Barney. Looking forward to that Junior final as well. I want to thank my guests today, Alan Foley, Sean McVeigh, Paul Campbell and Paddy Flood. We're hoping to do the show live after the county final next week in Ballybuffet. Hopefully you can tune in. I'll chat to you all then.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love in Sarah's Kitchen.